I've got my Bible on my iPad here. Now, it's really good because you can flick between all the books and the chapters and stuff. But the one thing that an actual Bible does with pages is it doesn't freeze. Right, so let's pray together about this little time that we have together now. So, Lord, thank you that, again, you can speak to each of us in a different way despite hearing the same words. So pray for the words that I'm just about to say, but I pray for the words that you give us directly and the extra add-on thoughts that you give us directly. And I pray for the experiences that we have had in our lives that have brought us to this moment here, now. So if there is application from the words that I'm just about to say, I pray that you will help us work out what that is. That the difference that this message can have to our lives will be apparent to us when we head out into Sunday afternoon and into Monday morning. So I thank you for the words that I'm just going to say, but I thank you more for the words that you are able to put into our minds and into our hearts and into our souls and into our spirits. So bless us to be able to hear the words that you are speaking to us. Amen. So in everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, I wrote something on the front of the news sheet a few weeks ago, and I said something at the church meeting. And for the sake of people who haven't heard it, and for me as well, it's a bit of a reminder about this thing that I thought. Jesus was often saying, "You have heard it said, but I say unto you." And he says something slightly different. So I am going to go for that again. So Matthew 7:12, "You have heard it said, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. But I say unto you, do more. Do more than you would have people do unto you." Do more. There's a phrase about going the extra mile, and which is often associated with people of the Christian faith. So not do to others as you would have them do unto you. Do more. Now, Pete started me off on this track when he was talking about faith is action a while ago. And so this is kind of more of the same from what I was talking a couple of weeks ago. But I wondered, and I've done this with, I did it with Matthew, I've chosen to talk today about Mark, but I wondered what happened if you isolated all of the verbs, the doing words, the action words from Mark, or any of the Gospels. So I've had a look at Matthew. It's all right. I've had a look at Mark. It's a bit shorter. I haven't done Luke and I haven't done John, and I will. But just isolate all the verbs. Now, if you do that for Jesus, you get some pretty big verbs. So I wondered what it would be like to be a little bit more reasonable and have a look if you isolate all the verbs from the disciples. And I just wondered what the story would sound like. So here it is. Now, I've changed the tenses so they're all the same. And there's one little story which I've snuck in that isn't actually the disciples, but it's friends of Jesus. So here we go. The disciples, right? They prepared, they cast, they left, they followed, they went, they exclaimed. They carried, they made an opening, they lowered, they sat, they got up, they followed. They picked some heads of grain. They asked him about parables. They took him. They woke him. They answered him. They preached. They drove out demons. They anointed. They healed. They gathered around Jesus. They reported on all that they had done. They distributed. They ate. They picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. They strained at the oars. They saw him. They screamed. They distributed. They ate. They picked up 7 baskets of spares. They forgot. They argued. They rebuked. They found a colt. They untied it. They did what Jesus had asked them to do. They remembered, they discussed, they came to him. They reclined, they ate, they drank, they sang. They slept, one of them cut, they denied, they broke down, they wept, they fled. They believed, they went out, they preached everywhere. They confirmed his words by the things that they did. That's quite a magic little story. The whole of the story of the New Testament, if you've got a bit of a grasp of what the story of the New Testament is, you can get just from the actions of the disciples. Now, I'm only going to talk about a few of these, and then we've got communion. So there's three that I specifically get to talk about, which is lovely. But there's just a couple. First one, I've said they for all of these. Some of these are only for one or two people. But Matthew, the tax collector, before Jesus, he sat. When Jesus turned up, he got up. Now, if we're only looking at verbs, the whole of that story is longer. There's loads of verses about how Matthew was called. But before Jesus, he was sitting. With Jesus, he got up. Now, if that's all you're going to take away from this morning, maybe that's actually enough. Without Jesus, we're sitting. With Jesus, we get up. And his third little verb is he followed. So he sat, he got up, he followed. If that's our mourning, if that's our mourning, he lay down, he got up, he followed. If that was our every morning, what a massive difference to each of our lives that would be. We'll say sat because, you know, sitting on the edge of the bed and stuff. They sat, they got up, they followed. Now, I am going to ask you, because I can't predict where you are in relation to any of these little stories, so you try and find little bits of your life where this is a thing that can change what you do or what you think. But if every morning they sat, they got up, and they followed, then maybe that's actually enough for me to talk about. Let's do communion. Now, I'll keep going. I've got a few more. But they sat, they got up, they followed. Before Jesus, Matthew was just sitting. With Jesus, he was getting up and following. I'll just read through the first few, and it's amazing how quickly this seems to happen. The first three verbs are just about their nets. So they prepared their nets, they cast their nets. So they're doing their job. They're doing their job, the thing that brings them in money. They're preparing their nets, they're casting their nets. Jesus turns up, they left their nets. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Here's my job, here is the thing. When you introduce yourself to somebody, and a load of you guys are retired and stuff now, and that's fine, but when you were working back in the day, or you are still working now, or you had a job that was yours, hello, I'm whoever you are, I'm A. We kind of let our jobs define us sometimes. Well, Jesus didn't think that was that important. They were working, they were working, they were working. Hello, Jesus, they left. Now, let's not all pack in our jobs. That's not what I'm after. But just the idea of Jesus had such a massive influence over these people. Working, 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 working. Hello, I'm Jesus. Okay. Amazing. They were prepared to forego the thing that perhaps defined them. And in the end, they, instead of just being called fishermen, were called fishers of men. So he kind of spun that on its head and stopped talking about their job being a secular thing, but their job being a faith thing. Amazing. So they sat down, they got up, they followed. Working, 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 working. Oh, okay. So maybe it's a case for somebody here that God wants you to have a look at what you do. Is what you do the thing that God wants you to do? Is that thing that defines you that thing that is supposed to be defining you? Is that verse for you? They prepared their nets, they cast their nets, they left their nets because of Jesus. But yes, it escalates. So job, 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 job. They followed. They sat up, they got down, picked up some grains. You know, they got on with their everyday kind of, a bit hungry, a bit peckish. And then they asked him about parables. And then they were answering him. There's a little verse in there, a little verb, they answered him. They weren't just asking him about stuff, they were telling him the story back. And then suddenly, from nowhere, they drove out demons and they healed people. Amazing. The speed at which all this stuff happens is incredible. You don't get very far into the list before they drove out demons, they anointed sick people, they healed people. They gathered around Jesus, they reported on all they had done. However, it's a bit of a relief to me because the disciples soon let themselves down and you get back to the whole idea of them being just as human as the rest of us. So in between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, they distributed, they ate, they picked up 12 baskets, and they distributed, they ate, they picked up 7 baskets. They strained at the oars, they saw him, they screamed. So Jesus is walking out onto the water to them, and it wasn't, oh wow, that's the kind of thing that Jesus would do, they said to each other. It was they saw him and they screamed. It says cried out, but I liked screamed. It sounded a little bit more panicky. It's the sort of thing I'd do. Really let myself down, you know, just, Jesus is walking on the water, wah! So there's a little bit of sort of, they've just been a few verses before, they healed, they drove out demons. But then there's a little bit of like, Jesus isn't that incredible, creeping into their minds, of doubting how powerful Jesus is. And then they forgot, they argued, they rebuked. The thing they rebuked was they rebuked either the parents or the children for letting kids come towards him. So they forgot, they argued, they rebuked. But then it's almost like Jesus said, right, whoa, okay. Take a breath. What I want you to do is this. And you can just imagine the disciples going, oh, here we go. More driving out and healing. Oh, no. Are you ready, disciples? This is what I want you to do. Find me a donkey. Disciples, is this a parable? Is it not really a donkey? Okay, so we've done all the healing stuff, but we have had a bit of a step back because we've forgotten and we've been arguing and we've rebuked people we shouldn't have been rebuking. But Jesus says, go find a colt and untie it and bring it to me. Is that it? But then the disciples get this lovely little verb that is written in which says the disciples did exactly what Jesus had asked them to do. The disciples did exactly what Jesus had asked them to do. Now, a load of you guys, me included, I never seem to know what exactly Jesus is asking me to do. But it may well be there's a few little handful of folks in here that have got this thing that they know that that's the thing they should be doing. The disciples, they've had this story written in the Bible because all they did was did what Jesus asked them to. Now, if that's you about anything, you deserve as much credit as the disciples do for getting their names in the Bible. They did exactly what Jesus asked them to do. And once they did that, they reclined, they ate, they drank, they sang. Brilliant. Thank you, fantastic disciples. Let's have a bit of a party. They reclined, they ate, they drank, they sang. And then it all starts to go a bit weird again. They slept. That's unfortunate. The only time in the New Testament where it talks about any of the disciples sleeping is when Jesus didn't want them to. They must have slept at other times, but that wasn't really noteworthy. Can you just wait here while I go over here and pray? Pray. Horrible. Drops of blood. Horrible. Not having a nice time. Fast asleep. They slept. It doesn't say they, it says one of them. They cut. So somebody comes to arrest Jesus and one of them attacks one of the soldiers. And Jesus has to make that right. They denied. It only really talks about Peter, but you can't imagine the rest of them were really making a song and dance about how brilliant Jesus was, because it was only Peter who'd even stayed around. They broke down. They wept. They fled. So it escalated. It got pretty bad for these guys. But Jesus turns up again. Now Mark is a bit of a funny gospel because it's got a little add-on at the end. So these last few were from the little add-on at the end of Mark, but they're just as easy to find at the end of the other gospels. But they believed. They went out. They preached everywhere. They confirmed his word by the things that they did. They confirmed his word by the things that he did. Jesus is the word. The word was God. The word is love. There's a whole load of stuff going around there, round and round in circles. Jesus, word, love. They confirmed his love. They confirmed his Jesusness. They confirmed who he was. They confirmed his word by the things that they did. When we are showing love to each other, when we are showing love to the people that we meet, when we're showing love to the people of Haiti, when we're showing love to people who we don't know, when we're showing love to the people who we've never met, it's not just a case of, I love you. It's a case of doing something. The only way that people can sense that you love them is by your words and your actions. And the most powerful one of those is your actions. So the verbs in the New Testament tell the disciples' story. The verbs in the New Testament tell Jesus' story. Our verbs tell our story. It's not even you saying, I'm a lovely person, and then being horrible. Our verbs tell people who we are. And I'm sorry to say this, our verbs tell other people who Jesus is. And that's a massive responsibility, and it's one that we all carry. Because to a load of the people that we know, we are Jesus. And we're not Jesus by the things that we say, we're Jesus by the things that we do. Now, I'm going to recommend, because it didn't take a fat load of time, have a go at doing this, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and see what it looks like. I've not tried it with John at all, deliberately, because I don't know quite how John will go, because John tells the story in a slightly different way. But be interesting to find out. But the story of the disciples is told by their verbs. Our story is told by our verbs. You know, the talk the talk, walk the walk. Walk the walk is the important thing. Whatever words it is that we say, it's our verbs that tell our story. And to everybody around us, it's our verbs that tell the story of our faith, our belief, and our Jesus. When you are doing, people see that that is what Jesus is doing. So let's pray for his strength that we can use the very, very best of verbs in our Christian life. Okay, so we're going to sing We Believe in God the Father. It's a little statement of the things that we believe in. Now, whilst we're singing those words, and the way that I always end up playing this, it's a little bit more, it's quite an upbeat way of doing it. While we're thinking about the things that we believe, think about how that can manifest itself in the things that we do. Because it is the verbs that tell our story to other people. So the three little verbs that I got from Mark on this are, oh, four, yeah. They reclined, they ate, they drank, they sang. That's it. That's their doing involvement. They reclined, they ate, they drank, they sang. Now that caused me to wonder whether or how much the disciples knew what was going on, and whether they only knew what it, all the words that Jesus meant in hindsight. They reclined. Now, I know that's the way that they ate, but you just kind of think if it was a really tense, fraught affair, that word perhaps wouldn't have been used. It would have been they met, or something a little bit harder. But they reclined. They were just happy in Jesus' company. They loved him. He was their rabbi. He was their leader. I've got this thing that these disciples were all much younger than Jesus was. Maybe Peter was the only one who was kind of an adult. But they loved him. They wanted to be with him, and they were chilled out. It was the Last Supper. It wasn't the Last Supper. It was supper. That was what it was. They didn't know it was the last one. It was just supper, and it was the Passover, and it was a thing that Jewish people did with their families. Listen to that. It was the thing they did with their families. These lads weren't with their families, but they were. This was the thing with all of the disciples were definitely not with their families. They were with Jesus. That's who they wanted to be with. And they reclined. They were happy to be there. They were chilled out. They were ready for just a lovely Passover with their rabbi. They ate, they drank, they sang. They ate, they drank, they sang. There's not, they ate, they got a bit freaked out because Jesus was talking about death and stuff. They drank, but it was supposed to be blood, and they got a bit freaked out because it was about death and stuff. And if they'd been really horrified by what was going on, I'm not thinking that singing would have been high on the agenda. They reclined, they ate, they drank, they sang. Maybe it was only in hindsight that they understood the words that Jesus had said. So let's just read some of those words. So while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." It must have struck them that that was important. But maybe it struck them later, because they were just celebrating Passover with their friend, Jesus. Now, I don't mind what you remember and what you think about now. But maybe, just because I've suggested this, today we are just eating and drinking with our friend, Jesus.